And with us, we're very excited to have Rob Domofsky. Rob is the ESPN NFL national writer for the Packers. Rob's been covering Green Bay Packers since 1997, started out back with the Green Bay Press Gazette, longtime writer, longtime very successful writer. I've been reading Rob's stuff for years and years, so it's a great pleasure to be able to talk to you, Rob, and talk Packers with you as well. So thanks a lot for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, guys.
I'm going to jump right into this, Rob. Give us a few of your biggest observations so far through the first 4 days of training camp.
Well, one thing is abundantly clear. They want to get Jimmy Graham and Aaron Rodgers on the same page. Rodgers has thrown to Graham quite a bit over the last the first 3 days of camp. And, you know, Graham talked the day before yesterday and talked about how, you know, he won't necessarily feel like he's on that same page with Rodgers until he catches that first touchdown. And, you know, but they know how important that relationship's going to be, and that's been a key. The other thing is, I think we have not seen the first two draft picks, Jaire Alexander and Josh Jackson, get a whole lot of work with the number one defense yet, but I think that's got to be coming very soon.
You know, I was going to ask about the whole the Rodgers and Graham thing. We always hear about that, the elusive chemistry between quarterbacks and receivers. How legitimate is that? Or is that really a thing, or is that something that writers like to write about and use as kind of a euphemism or just getting used to each other?
No, I think it's a real thing, and I mean, Graham talked about it extensively the other day, so I think it's a real thing. I mean, you know, Rodgers, there's so many things he does that's subtle, changing plays at the line, adjusting routes, that you have to be with him. I mean, you know, for example, let's go back to Jeff Janis, who clearly was a talented guy and had a lot of speed and all that, but just Rodgers couldn't trust him, and that's why he never played. So it's a real thing, especially with a quarterback like Rodgers, who's so precise that you better get on the same page with him.
Yeah, I was wondering how you think that's going to work with him. I thought when Graham was in New Orleans, he was like one of the greatest tight ends I ever saw in my life. But nowadays, people talk about that, you know, what he does best is maybe jump up and get, you know, jump balls. And I just don't think of Rodgers as a guy who does that. Rodgers is, you know, sees the guy that's open and he hits him. He doesn't like throw the ball up for grabs and that often and just say, hey, you know, I'll trust my receiver to out-jump the other guy. I mean, is he really a good fit for what Aaron Rodgers does?
Well, I think, you know, in Seattle, he had that knee injury a couple of years ago, which really sort of slowed him down. But I think he's back to being what he was more in Seattle. New Orleans than what he was in Seattle. But look, he's 6'7". You know, even Rodgers is, you know, if he throws it up, there's a pretty good chance he's going to come down with it. He's just, you know, he towers over guys, so. I would not be surprised if you saw a little bit more of that kind of thing in the red zone. You know, but where they're really working is between the 20s, trying to get Graham sort of into that Jared Cook, JerMichael Finley role that was so successful in this offense.
Well, that's the other question. I mean, not only like Finley, I remember him being so good at that, was that, a couple of years ago, Randall Cobb had one of the great seasons ever as a slot receiver. And, you know, we know how great Aaron is throwing the ball down the field and to the sidelines, but how much do the Packers need a great slot presence again, too?
Yeah, and I think that's where this is a key year for Cobb. He's in the last year of his contract. He has not, you know, he has not replicated that year that he had in 2014 where he was over 90 catches, over 1,200 yards, and double-digit touchdowns. And I don't know that you can expect those numbers specifically from him. But, you know, with Jordy Nelson now gone, and, you know, it's basically Cobb and Davante Adams right now in terms of pool. So, you know, I think you should look for Cobb to have sort of a bounce-back type of year.
Yeah, and I was just talking about Cobb, too. I was thinking that maybe Jimmy Graham, if he's what he was in New Orleans, could do some of that stuff. Because the thing that Cobb did that great that year was third downs. The number of third downs he converted that year was so amazing. And I was just wondering about a third down presence. Jimmy Graham be that really reliable third down guy you need when you really need to pick up 5 or 6 yards?
Yeah, I think time will tell on that, but they're certainly... So it's been a big emphasis early in camp to try to get that connection going.
Rob, sticking with the receivers really quickly then, obviously, we've got Davante Adams, we've got Cobb, we've got Graham as a tight end, but kind of a glorified receiver. But after that, where does it fit? I know Geronimo Allison is kind of the de facto number three. How are the three rookies looking, and also Tyron Davis as well? I mean, who's fitting in here? How do you see this kind of playing itself out?
Yeah, I mean, right now Allison is definitely the number three, but, you know, of the three rookies, two of them have sort of gotten a chance to work with the ones a little bit more, and that's Jamon Moore and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Scantling had a deep ball the other day. I mean, it just ran by everybody. He's a really athletic guy. The knock on both him and Moore is a little bit their hands. Both have dropped passes early in camp, but they've also gotten a chance to work with Rodgers a little bit. And, that's the thing with a lot of these young guys is they don't get a lot of reps with the ones, but, you know, so far, because the receiving depth is not as deep as it used to be, that those guys are getting some opportunities early in camp. That's definitely key. Davis right now looks more like a special teams guy. They really like what he does there. He just has not taken that step as a receiver. But look, all those guys are going to get opportunities in these preseason games, and someone's going to push Geronimo Allison. Right now, it's just a little too early to say who that is.
One of the biggest, I'm reading, the biggest surprises in camp is the guy who's not actually even playing, and that is the progress of Brian Bulaga. What have you seen from him, and do you think he can make it back in time for the start of the season?
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they're that optimistic that he's going to be ready for week one. I mean, he got injured, November 6th, I think it was. That's typically a minimum 10-month injury, if not usually more like 11 or 12-month recovery. So, 10 months would put us, right on to early September, which I suppose is the opener. And look, maybe it's the fact that he's been through one of these before and has rehabbed successfully. Maybe it was just that things have healed quicker and he's progressed more. But yeah, the fact that Mike McCarthy came out and said he expects him to be ready week one was surprising on a couple of accounts. One, McCarthy doesn't usually put timelines on things, and two, that he did and it was so early. So it certainly would be, a big boost if they could get Bulaga, but only if Bulaga is the Brian Bulaga of old. If he's hobbled and not strong enough, then it's probably not, a good move. So, in the interim, it's been Jason Spriggs and Byron Bell at right tackle, with a little bit of Kyle Murphy in there as well. But I think as we get closer to September 9th against the Bears, it's definitely going to be interesting to see if Bulaga is indeed off the PUP list and ready to go.
From your observations so far between OTAs and the first couple of days of training camp, what's the big difference? What are you seeing out of the new Mike Pettine defense?
Well, there's a couple of new alignments that they don't want us to talk about. It's not, to put it this way, it's not just the traditional 3-4 look that they have. I think there's a confidence in the simplicity of things. I mean, Patton had said, he goes, look, we may go into a game with, 20 or 25 calls, whereas in the past, it maybe have been 50 or 75 calls. So there's a confidence that guys know what they're doing. We have not seen the confusion, that hampered this defense last year and the year before. So, I think there's a trust in the coaches. And then there's a trust from the coaches and the players that has allowed guys to play fast. And that, that's important. So, look, even Patton said it, we haven't given up a yard. We haven't given up a point. So everything looks great. But let's just, let's see how it unfolds. But I think there's an excitement about the simplistic aggressiveness that is this defense.
With that in mind, then, I mean, it seems like it'd be almost less scheme and more relying on the talents of the players, if that's kind of what I'm reading into this. So if that's the case, then do you see, is there the kind of talent here that they just let them go and use their skills that they can make up for the deficit in defense that we've seen the last couple of years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there's no question that they were, I thought, missing in terms of the talent area at every level of the defense. So, right now they look deep on the defensive line with experience. They look deep in the secondary with inexperience but talented players. The one area that I think you're still questioning is, do they have enough outside pass rush? And, you know, I think it's definitely a valid concern, because they haven't really had anybody in a couple of years at that spot. It's, you know, it's still Clay Matthews, Nick Perry. Perry isn't practicing yet because of an ankle injury. And then your backups are completely unproven, Fackrell, Beagle, and Reggie Gilbert. So, you know, that's to me the area where there's a big concern. But that also could be the area where scheme, you know, helps out, and Patton's, you know, veteran savvy maybe makes up for it.
One of the areas that nobody really talks about, and I understand why, but it can be a valuable weapon. I've read a lot of your tweets and stuff over the last couple of days that rookie punter J.K. Scott's looking pretty darn good out there.
Boy, you know, it shocked me when they drafted a punter. I just, you know, I don't know if I'd ever use it. But this kid really kicks the ball. I mean, he is impressive. I mean, we're talking high towering punts. So, yeah, I mean, that's he's been impressive right from the get-go. So, you know, it's still, I still question whether I would ever draft a kicker, punter, or long snapper, and they drafted two of those three this year with the snapper and the punter, but so far, so good.
Well, if I were the Bears, I might draft a punter, but the Packers don't have to punt nearly as much.
We're talking with Rob Domofsky. He's ESPN's the national writer for the Green Bay Packers. Rob, I'm going to ask you the obligatory question you probably heard a zillion times, and we'll keep hearing it until it ends, but are you concerned at all with the status in the Aaron Rodgers contract discussions?
No, I thought there was a decent chance that it would get done before camp started. Obviously, that didn't happen. I still think there's a decent chance it could get done before the regular season starts. Look, Aaron Rodgers isn't going anywhere. You know, I think they'll get a deal done at some point, you know, relatively soon. You know, if you're Rodgers, you know, I know he's talked about wanting a non-traditional type contract where he could have these, possibly have these options where, you know, he's allowed to renegotiate, but that might be tough to do, and he might have to accept, you know, that that's not going to happen. There's also some risk for Rodgers to not, you know, do a deal right away, because, look, whatever deal he does is going to probably have over $100 million in guaranteed money. And, you know, the fact that, you know, something could happen, and, you know, that's a lot of money to walk away from guaranteed if, you get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, something serious, that's a big risk to, you know, it's always, you know, the player always has to take a little bit less to do a deal with this long on their contract. But either way, he's going to end up being the highest paid player in the league. And the idea that maybe they could keep him at that as these other contracts come in is, I think, just what the final hurdle is to get done.
One last question, Rob. Kind of give us a bold prediction that maybe on opening night we'll look back and say, wow, Rob called this and it was exactly right. Give me a bold training camp prediction, whether it be player personnel, who starts, who doesn't, who makes the team, or whatever.
I still think there's one more player acquisition move up Brian Gutekunst's sleeve. And look, I'm not saying necessarily that it's Dez Bryant, but there could be some sort of other bold move out there, whether it's a trade for a pass rusher or something. I think Gutekunst has got one more move up his sleeve between now and the final cutdown day.
If they were to make a trade, would it come out of like maybe a future draft picks or out of personnel, the depth and personnel they could give up, or where do you think it would come from?
You know, I would assume it'd be draft picks. I mean, they've got two first round picks for next year. I'm not saying that he would deal one of them, but he's got a lot of ammunition to make some kind of a move if there's something there that strikes his fancy.